This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Scroll for 5 seconds on Instagram or TikTok and we're swimming in affirmations. I am worthy. I choose happiness. Maybe I attract good things. They promise calm, confidence, a better life. But when we're stressed, heartbroken, overwhelmed, or doubting ourselves, do these phrases really change anything? Well, let's find out. Madeline Fraser is a senior lecturer in clinical psychology at ACU. Madeline, welcome to Drive.
Thanks for having me.
Madeline, when we talk about positive affirmations, what are we actually doing psychologically to ourselves?
Yeah, and look, no wonder they're so popular, right? The promise that you can boost your self-esteem and feel good about yourself and maybe even bolster yourself through difficult times. The idea that we can get all of those benefits from simply repeating a positive phrase is really tempting.
And easy too.
and really, the core idea behind a positive affirmation is that repeating something positive about ourselves or our worldview will almost make it real or will protect us against things going wrong.
What does the research tell us? Do affirmations improve mood or self-esteem in a meaningful way?
Yeah, and look, one interesting recent study did a great review of all of the research in this area, so looking at all studies that have used self-affirmations to try and boost self-esteem, and they did find a significant effect. Like, it does seem like repeating positive phrases can be helpful, but really importantly, the effect was small. So that tells us that it doesn't uniformly help everyone in every context. It's only sometimes helpful.
I'm just thinking, I mean, we've all got our stories, haven't we, of our lives, what we've been through, you know, things that have impacted us, etc. I'm just trying to think and apply it to myself. If I said a mantra, I might feel good temporarily, but it doesn't necessarily sort of process the, you know, the deep-rooted things that or experiences that shape what's happened to me.
Look, well said. And I mean, when thinking about my life, those sorts of phrases are probably helpful when the situation is already going well. And I'm just digging for a little bit more motivation to, I don't know, study before an exam or prep before something or walk into a job interview. But I think what's more important is the way we talk to ourselves when, like you just said then, things go really wrong or things fall apart or we make a horrendous mistake. And the research doesn't really support positive affirmations in those situations.
Why do you think we're drawn to them so much, particularly at the moment, Madeline?
Yeah, great question. Look, my guess at that would be in this context of fast-paced information and social media where, you know, and I doom scroll all the time, right? And a key feature of doom scrolling is short, quick, catchy things that capture your attention for a couple of seconds and then you quickly move on to the next thing. I think positive affirmations fit neatly into that context of social media. But I think in reality and in the real world, when we do experience suffering or we do get things wrong, which is a part of human nature, alternatives like self-compassion become more so important than positive affirmations that can be a bit superficial.
We're chatting with Madeline Fraser, a senior lecturer in clinical psychology at ACU. We're talking about whether positive affirmations actually work. I'd love to hear from you as well. Have your say. Do positive affirmations help you or do they make you roll your eyes? 0427 569 949 is the SMS number. Madeline, for someone who's already feeling low or anxious, what impact could repeating I am lovable have? Could it have a negative impact?
Look, definitely, because unfortunately, you know, life doesn't always go according to plan and people experience horrific suffering every day. And if our reaction to that is to try and paper over a situation or the way that we're feeling with something positive, when the reality is we're feeling completely opposite, we are at greater risk of practicing things like toxic positivity, where we feel this pressure to make things be good or to feel good. And that's just not realistic. Or we actually downplay some really important emotions that are trying to tell us things, we downplay those to try and superficially gloss over that pain.
Is there a risk also, Madeline, that we could sort of, if we are feeling anxious or we've got a low mood and we start doing these positive affirmations and they don't work and we start saying, well, what's wrong with me? Why aren't they working with me when they work with everyone else on Instagram?
Well said, exactly. And then there's another layer of shame and self-blame that, I am so broken that this, I can't get this to work for me, or I should be feeling good and I'm not. And that just doesn't map onto the reality of the human experience. Yeah.
You touched on the toxic positivity before there. I nearly stuffed it up as well, don't worry. where's the line between healthy self-talk and denying how we really feel at the moment?
Yeah, well said. And look, I think in order to figure out that line, it does take a level of courage, because to figure out that line, you need to lean into the parts of yourself that you're not comfortable with. So, for example, when I make a mistake, like bungling how to say toxic positivity, I could just immediately gloss over it and think, oh, none of the listeners heard that. It's all fine. I'm coming across as perfect. But even as I say that, that just sounds really superficial, right? And it's not acknowledging that I'm in that moment and feeling, oh, I made a mistake and it feels a bit awkward. The alternative here is self-compassion. So me in that moment when I garbled my words, I tried to practice an instant of going, okay, I'd stuffed up. I said that wrong. This is on the radio. People are going to hear it. What would I say to a good friend who made that mistake instead of me? And I wouldn't berate them. I wouldn't say they're a bad person. I'd say, look, we all make mistakes. This is a part of the human experience. This is a part of life. Even if you've made this mistake, I still think you're a wonderful person. And self-compassion is saying that to ourselves, not just the people we love and care about.
I love the way that you said that. I stuff up all the time.
And self-compassion.
Well, I say, you know, we're human, aren't we? And we want to be authentic on the radio, not necessarily always polished and perfect. So I try and say it's okay to stuff up.
And if you're expecting yourself to be polished and perfect, when you're not, the fall is even bigger, and then you get rattled, your brain's scrambled all over the place. But a little dose of self-compassion when those things go wrong can help you stay on track.
What about speaking to ourselves in the third person, sort of creating a bit of distance from our thoughts? What can that play a role at all?
Yeah, and look, another excellent strategy, because part of the problem with positive affirmations is psychologists call it fusion. We become really fused with this idea that we have to be perfect and we have to be happy, we have to be doing well in order to be a valuable, worthy person. And fusion with, there's some really interesting emerging research around this, fusion with any extreme idea of ourselves, whether it's good or bad, is problematic, because we're never going to be 100% perfect and we're never going to be 100% terrible. But if we can get a little bit of distance from those thoughts, so rather than, oh, I'm such an idiot, I stuffed up, if we can give ourselves a bit of space from that thought by thinking, wow, okay, Maddie, that thought that I'm an idiot is coming up right now. That's interesting that it's coming up so loudly in this moment. I wonder what's going on there. Then we don't default automatically 100% believe our thoughts. And at the end of the day, what we're thinking might only be part of the story, right? Or might not even eventuate.
Right. Well, a couple of messages have come in that are interesting, Madeline. Michael in St Kilda says, they annoy me, as in the affirmations. If I'm stressed, telling myself I'm thriving just makes me feel like I'm lying.
Really good point. And I think it comes back to what we were talking about being genuine and being honest, because that level of fakeness, I'd agree, it's annoying. It's like this extra layer of pressure to be Pollyanna perfect. And life is not like that.
Another one, affirmations feel like corporate HR slogans. That's a good one. They do, don't they?
I think that should be the headline for this interview. They do. They feel artificial, contrived. They feel like a quick shortcut. You know how corporations will say, oh, I know you're stressed. I know you're overworked. Here's a mindfulness recording rather than acknowledging the systemic failures of the organization or the under-resourcing of personnel. It feels like a band-aid solution. I agree.
Definitely. Now, Madeline, if let's say tomorrow, you know, we're standing in front of the mirror, we're looking at ourselves, what can we tell ourselves that's not just sort of some sort of sloganistic affirmation? What's a good positive way to start today? You're looking at yourself in the mirror, you're being honest and authentic with yourself. What's something that we can do?
Yeah, and you know what? Great question. Because tomorrow morning, I think I'd want to, maybe I would be more open to starting the day with a more positive affirmation, something like, I'm here, I'm enough exactly as I am in this moment. I'm gonna embrace the day with an open mind. But when you leave that mirror and when you're moving throughout the day, when things go wrong or when you make a mistake or you feel shame or embarrassment creeping in, that's when I'd say don't rigidly keep applying that positive affirmation, I'm worthy, I'm worthy, I'm worthy. I think that's when you kick into gear and bring in the self-compassion. What would I say to a good friend who I loved, who I cared about, who I wanted to see do well in life? Because we deserve that same respect.
Could you sort of almost prepare yourself for a few stuff-ups? Could you say, you know what, I'm going to have a great day, I'm going to get through it. You know, I'm human, I might stuff up, but that's part of being human and it's okay, I'll get through it. Or am I drawing it out
edit.
Too long?
Yeah. No, I like, and just to carry that idea of, so when a mistake does happen or when we do grossly stuff up, it's not this jarring, completely outside of our expectation. It's, no, this is a part of being human. I'm doing the best I can with what I have right now, and that's okay.
Oh, Madeline, brilliant conversation. Love chatting with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Lauren. All the best.
Thank you. That was Madeline Fraser, Senior Lecturer in Clinical Psychology at Australian Catholic University.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.